Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Mary Kay Cabot, she's tough talking. She enters right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. I didn't text you. I didn't prep you. So I don't know whether or not to ask you the question. Lima's going to go. I'm going to do it anyway. Lima's going under the knife tomorrow for a vasectomy. Peas, what should he do?
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you mean, what should he do?
Should there be ice? What should he do afterwards?
Should I even be doing it, Mary
Should he
Kay?
Do it? Should he have a stay of execution here?
That is the question. I probably wouldn't do it if I were him, but it's the first
one. I'm done. I'm canceling right now.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Dr. J. It's over.
You said you wouldn't do it. Why wouldn't you do it if you were told? I'm sorry, I was yelling.
Well, you just never know what life is going to bring. You never know what you're going to hope for later in life. You just never know.
I am not having any more kids with my wife or anyone else, Mary Kay.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
We are done.
Then go for it and enjoy your children and have a wonderful life.
Mary Kay, this business is actually so sick is that when I one time we considered it and then there was a no-go, and Jonah came around. But I said I was going to do it. I had a veteran radio guy go, no, you can't do that. I said, well, why? And he says, well, you've only been married once. I said, yeah. He goes, you're going to get married again to somebody much younger later on in your life. I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, that's what radio guys do, and that's what you will do. I went, no, I'm not. He goes, that's what you say now. And I go, no. I can't do that.
Or you might want another little baby at some point in your life. You just never know. But have at it.
I don't know. Lima, you got this marriage thing figured out just the way you want. I don't think you want to mess around with anything else. Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Tommy Rees, he's going to have his press conference today coming up at 10 a.m. He's the new offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. I just assume Kevin Stefanski is going to take over play calling duty then?
I don't know. We do not know the answer to that. I think that I doubt that they're going to announce it today, but I think it's something they'll have to work through as they reshape this offense once again and figure out exactly where they're going with it and what they want to do with it.
Okay, if Tommy Rees is going to be here in Cleveland, he used to be the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Jalen Milroe, he comes from Alabama. You see where I'm going with this? Does this mean that they might be taking Jalen Milroe at some point in this draft?
Well, Jalen Milroe is certainly on their radar, as are all the top quarterbacks in this draft. So Tommy has more inside intel on Jalen than anybody else after having worked with him for a whole year there at Alabama. So I think it's great that they have that, and that's one they can check Jalen off the box when it comes to wondering what his personality is like, wondering what his work ethic is like, wondering how he relates to his teammates and his leadership ability. They know all of that stuff. So they're ahead of the game with Jalen. Doesn't mean they're going to take him, but they certainly have all the info that they need on him.
About a month ago, you said you were going to go through your process with some of the rookie quarterbacks coming out. Have you gone through your process? Is there anybody you like early?
I've started the process. But it's kind of a long process, and it's still early. Part of it involves going to the Senior Bowl next week, so I'm leaving on Monday for Mobile, Alabama. Jalen Milroe will be there. Jackson Dart will be there. A lot of other good players will also be there. Shador won't be there. He's going to the East-West Shrine Game, and these things kind of overlap, so it was hard to do both. So he will not be there. But, yeah, I've started to talk to people and look into some things, and it's going to be very interesting to see how these quarterbacks shake out this year.
When you see the way that some of the press conferences and some of the reports are out there, and it happens every single year, and it's always entertaining, but like the new man in charge in Tennessee saying generational talent at number one, we're not going to pass on that. Does that lead you to any conclusions, or do you think all of this is just total silliness?
Lots of gamesmanship going on right now. Of course, when you have the number one overall pick, if you're not 100% certain about the player that you want there, you're going to talk that pick up as much as you possibly can and try to drum up some interest in the pick, maybe even get another first rounder for next year or something like that. So there will be all kinds of things that will come out of everywhere over the next few weeks and months, and you have to take a lot of it with a grain of salt and just know that there is a strategy for most of these teams.
Have you heard any conversation at all about the non-top two guys, the non-Ward, non-Sanders, about any inkling that they might like any other name a little bit later on?
In terms of a quarterback?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Well, I would say that, you know, we've already talked a little bit about Jalen. He's not regarded right now as one of the top two guys, and I think that he's somebody that they will take a good look at, and they'll take a good look at him this week. And also, same thing with Jackson Dart. Any of those top guys are going to be on the radar, but I don't know if they necessarily prefer them or are targeting them or anything like that, but they are scouting all of those guys very heavily.
You know, we always talk about different grades at quarterback, whether it's a first-round grade, a second-round grade, but a lot of that has become moot because the second-round quarterback is like an endangered species. Now teams just trade up to the end of the first to go get that quarterback. So given that, like, how much of an emphasis, if the Browns had a second-round grade on Shedeur Sanders or even Cam Ward, would that prevent them from taking him in, say, you know, maybe not at number two, but a little bit later on in the first round, maybe a trade-up?
Yeah, I mean, if you like a quarterback and you think a quarterback in this draft can help you, you have to take that quarterback where you can get him, not where you think he should be ranked or where you think he should be go, where he should go. Because if you think that Shedeur, or let's just say Jalen, if you think that Jalen is a number 50-something quarterback, but you have a pick at 33, then you're going to have to reach up and get him because the quarterback that you like will be gone by the time you pick at 50-something. So I think, it's a strategy, and with quarterbacks, you kind of have to throw the rankings out the window a little bit.
Do you believe Deion Sanders would let his son play for the Cleveland Browns?
That's a great question. I'm very anxious to try to find out who Deion is talking about when he has teams he doesn't want his son to play for. I keep thinking that if Cleveland is one of those teams, which it wouldn't be surprising right now if Cleveland were on the list, because Cleveland doesn't have a good reputation right now in terms of quarterbacks, right? But I just have a feeling that if Deion sat down with Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, that those guys could sell a pretty good game for Deion talking about Shedeur. So I don't think it's a deal breaker, even if right now he might not be that keen on Cleveland. And I don't know if he is or he isn't, but I think that can change.
We've heard so many different names as a potential bridge quarterback that they could go after this offseason, independent of what they decide to do in the draft. Do you have a short list right now, Mary Kay, or maybe a very long list of quarterbacks that you think are in play right now for this football team?
Well, I think everyone has to figure out first who is going to be available. You don't know what's going to happen necessarily with Justin Fields, and you don't know what's going to happen with Russell Wilson and Sam Darnold. We have a pretty good idea that Kirk Cousins will become available. But no, I don't have a short list yet on just exactly what the Browns are thinking in terms of those veteran quarterbacks. A lot of it will shake out over the next month when guys either get re-signed or get released or whatever the case may be.
If they found themselves with a chance to take Travis Hunter, how do you think that they would use him?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I would find a way to use him both ways if possible. Maybe not 100% of the time. Maybe you go 80% defensive back, 20% wide receiver or something like that. Or maybe you flip that and see which position he will excel at most. But he's such a talent. He's such a weapon that you probably can't go wrong either way. and it's going to take a nice creative mind to figure out how to maximize that dual threat ability.
You mentioned cuts just moments ago. Are there any names that might be a little bit surprising to fans that you've maybe highlighted as potential cut candidates?
Well, in terms of in the league or for the Browns?
For the Browns.
Well, this would not be a cut, but Andrew Berry at his season wrap-up sort of indicated that there is a world in which Nick Chubb doesn't get re-signed here. So that would probably be the most upsetting, I think, for Browns fans, if, of course, that happens. But it might not. They might be able to bring him back on some minimum type of contract with incentives or something like that. So that could happen in that regard. But I think that Andrew was trying to manage expectations a little bit for Nick Chubb.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think that I want to react right off the bat if they don't sign him first day of free agency. I think it's going to take at least a week. You have a draft class coming out that seems to be a little bit more robust with running backs, and there could be a little bit of not so much needed when it comes to free agency. So if I don't think I want to react until he were to sign with another team, then I think I might get a little bit upset with the Browns over it.
Right, exactly. Anything can still happen because he's not going to be probably in the first wave of players that gets plucked right off the market. So there will be an opportunity to go back at it. But I'm sure they've already had these discussions with Nick Chubb. There's no way that Andrew would sit up there and say what he said at the wrap-up if he hadn't already had those discussions with Nick Chubb and with his representation. They respect him too much, vice versa, and you will always do right by Nick Chubb.
Between JOK, DeJuan Jones, and Mike Hall, all had really rough endings to the season, obviously, because of injuries. What is the level of optimism, do you think, from the Browns on those three? Maybe not being ready to go for week one, but being able to get back on the football field and have normal seasons next year.
Well, it seems to me that they feel pretty good about DeJuan Jones. I think he's penciled in at left tackle, and they're hoping that works out the way they expect it to. And then same thing with Mike Hall. I do think that they believe that Mike Hall will be ready to go probably by the beginning of the season. And then JOK, we just don't know yet. When you have a neck injury the way that he did, it's still up in the air. It's still just hanging out there about when he'll be able to play and in some cases if he'll be able to play. And the Browns have only really said that they're hopeful, they're hoping he'll be back, and no one really is able to put a time frame on it yet or to handicap how long it will take for him to get back on the field. So I do think that's one to keep an eye on, and they're probably going to have to find a way to replace him just in case.
You tired of seeing Kansas City in the Super Bowl?
Not really.
Really?
Because I really did like Patrick coming out in 2018, and I really enjoyed watching his career. And I'm not really tired of it. But by the same token, I absolutely really liked Josh Allen coming out. Patrick was 17. Josh was 18. I really liked Josh coming out in 18, too. So it's really cool to watch how these guys have developed. And in some ways it would be nice to see someone else in the Super Bowl, but I never really bet against Patrick either.
Mary Kay, we thank you very much for the time. And Lima thanks you for the advice. All the best to you and yours. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and cleveland.com.